Well, along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here. We do have some visitors, and we thank you so much for being here this morning on another beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. I want to talk to you this morning about what to expect in death. What to expect in death. It is appointed to man to die, and then after this, the judgment. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Now we all know the history of the human race is as much a history of death as it is of life. All who have lived in the past, with the exception of Enoch and Elijah, have died, and all who are living now will one day die. I want you to think about all those people that you have known over the years who have passed on from this earth. We all know several, and we lost several who are close to us. Psalms 89 and verse 48 says, "What man can live and never see death?" And when Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, he said, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Solomon voiced something that all of us know, yet is not something we like to think about. It's a subject that we dread. The only event that would prevent us from dying would be the return of our Lord Jesus Christ during our lifetime. For then the dead will be raised and the living will be changed. Look with me at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. The Apostle Paul said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. So the living will be transformed at His coming." All of us should expect death, because God has appointed it. He has appointed, as seen in Hebrews 9:27, when He says, "And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment." As a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, they ate the forbidden fruit. Physical death was appointed for the human race. Let's refresh our memory of that event. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 with me. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." I want to go back, if you would, with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter once again. Corinthians, the 15th chapter. You may remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. When he said, "For as in Adam all die, but also in Christ shall all be made alive." This is a reference to the physical death. The transgression of Adam and Eve brought in sin into the world and death through sin. Look at Romans 5:12 with me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Paul said, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." This is a reference to the spiritual death. Each accountable human being dies a spiritual death because of their own sin. Spiritual death is as much a reality as physical death is. There's a man by the name of Stuart Briscoe of the Spirit of Life magazine wrote, and I quote, He said, when I moved to the U.S., I was impressed with the number of total strangers who visited my home to wish me well. They all sold insurance. One day, my visitor was talking about the necessity to be prudent in the preparation for all possibilities. If something should happen to you, Mr. Briscoe, he started to say, but I interrupted. Please don't say that. It upsets me. He was a little startled, but he tried again. But with all due respect, sir, we must be ready if something should happen to us. Don't say that, I insisted. He looked totally bewildered, and he said, I don't understand what I said to upset you. Then I'll tell you, I replied. It upsets me when you talk about life's only certainty as it is a possibility. Death isn't a possibility, it is a certainty. You don't say if, you say when, whenever death is a subject. It is logical to expect death at any age because people of all stages of life die, young, old, and in between. Most of us fully expect to live a long life before death comes. The rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, remember, he planned to store up all his possessions and enjoy it for many, many years. But he never expected to die so soon. But God said to him in Luke 12 and verse 20, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The millions who live in this generation plan to live for a long time. When death suddenly stares us in the face, only then do we accept it with a lot of difficulty. Now, I'm not saying we just sit around waiting to die. It's good to make plans, for we must understand that we will die. In death, the inner man separates from the outer man. Our spirit will depart from this temple of clay in which we have lived. James said in James 2:26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith from works or obedience is dead. In Luke 16:22, where the death of the poor beggar Lazarus is recorded, his spirit departed from his disease-ridden body and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This is what happens when faithful Christians die. Angels of God transport us, the real inner man, to paradise, where we will wait for the resurrection at the last day. It's very important to understand many who die today expect death to enact some extraordinary changes for them that they are unwilling to make while living. And one of the great judgment day surprises will be the shocking revelation that the experience of death does not initiate a change in their spiritual condition before God. So let's look at what not to expect in death. We should not expect to die unsaved and then be raised a saved and glorified person at the last day. We must be in Christ to be saved. And in Christ is the relationship where salvation with eternal glory is found, according to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Look with me at 1 John chapter 5, if you would. 1 John 5. Look at verse 11 with me. 1 John 5, verse 11. The Bible says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Where is this life? In His Son, in Christ. That's where eternal life is, brethren. Turn to Galatians now. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Familiar passages. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Paul wrote to the Galatians. He said in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But one does not get into Christ after death. King Hezekiah wrote in Isaiah the 38th chapter in verse 19, he said, for Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. So you see, brethren and friends, beyond the gates of death, one cannot obey the gospel and enter into Christ. You can't do it after death. We may get into Christ only while we're alive on this earth. We should not expect to die out of Christ and be raised in Him on the resurrection morning. My friends, if any of you are not in Christ today, you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ while you still have the opportunity. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what Peter told the sin-burdened people on the day of Pentecost when they cried out, "What shall we do?" That's the same answer I give you today to get into Christ. It would be vain to expect to die as a backsliding Christian and be raised a faithful one when Jesus comes again. Please understand, the experience of death will not make an unfaithful Christian into a faithful one. If we are unrighteous and spiritually filthy when we die, we will still be unrighteous and filthy when we are raised. Listen to Solomon. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Let's go back there one time and listen to Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3, "If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie." What we are spiritually when we die will be what we are spiritually when we stand before Christ in the judgment. Let me repeat that. What we are spiritually when we die will be what we are spiritually when we stand before Christ in the judgment. Brethren, the time to repent of our worldliness and backsliding is now, right now, this very morning, while we're still living on this earth. Look at Revelation chapter 2 with me, please. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, to the church at Ephesus, Jesus said, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Unless you repent. So let me tell you, we should not expect to die a liar and be raised a truth teller. We should not expect to die a thief and be raised an honest person. We should not expect to die a murderer and be raised a guiltless person. We should not expect to die a gossiper and backbiter and be raised an encourager. We should not expect to die a covetous person and be raised a content person. We should not expect to die a drunkard and be raised a sober person. We should not expect to die a factionist and be raised a peacemaker. We should not expect to die in an adulterous marriage relationship and expect to be raised with everything right and acceptable to God. So let me emphasize again, with everything that I have got, the time to make the necessary changes in our life and correct whatever is wrong is now, while we have the opportunity. Death will not make any changes in one's character nor in the condition of his soul. So let's look at what to expect in death. Nearly everyone fears dying and death, looking at it as something to be dreaded. Most of us look at death as a terrible monster with his jaws wide open, just waiting to swallow us up and forever bring all joy and happiness to an end. I think Christians dread the pain of dying more than anything else. But in reality, death to a Christian is a wonderful transition from this life that is filled with pain and disappointment to a life that is better, a brighter realm, a time to greet the saints of God of every age. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Look at Revelation, the 14th chapter. Brethren, what God's people should expect in death is shown in Revelation 14 and verse 13. Hear the voice of John. John heard from heaven and said, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." They're going to rest from their labors. Christians will rest from their labors and their works will follow. This revelation from heaven shows that at death Christians enter into a place of rest and that the good works they did while on earth will follow them. These good works will stand as a memorial to the faithful since they rendered that they rendered while they lived on this earth. Paul shows us in Romans 2:16 that even the secret things which others have not seen and do not know about will be revealed on the day of judgment. Solomon tells us the same thing in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 when he said, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Soldiers who have been in the battlefield know something about the sweetness of rest after the battle. Every laborer in the field knows the satisfaction of enjoying rest at the end of a long day's work. Soldiers of Christ who have used the two-edged sword of spirit against the enemies of the Lord are assured of a sweet rest too. The worn-out saints who have labored in the vineyard, even those who came in at the 11th hour, will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the eternal kingdom of God and rest from their labors. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." He says, let us fear any of you who have seemed to come short. Down in verse 11 in the same chapter, he says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter in that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Disobedience. So be diligent, brethren. What a rest it will be. What a rest it will be. Christians have the right to expect in death all the treasures laid up in heaven. I love this part. All the treasures that we have will be there awaiting us, kept secretly by the Lord. Now I know this is a familiar passage, but I want us to read it anyway. Turn to Matthew the 6th chapter and let's read verse 20. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Whether we give a cup of water to the thirsty or clothe those who are naked, share our food with the hungry or help the unfortunate with what they need, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven." When Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves," he's making this an individual responsibility, brethren. Just as money deposited in a bank earns interest for our accounts, so do those loving and sympathetic acts of mercy and generosity will accrue to our eternal account. Lay by in store to be used for the needy Christians and evangelistic work will accrue to our account as well. Thieves and stock market crashes, governments, catastrophes cannot take away the treasures that we have deposited in the bank of heaven. In death, they are all in heaven's bank, secured by the only safe and secure banker of all. Also in death, the people of God can expect relief from the passions and sicknesses and weaknesses of the flesh. Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me in verse 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Paul tells us that Christ will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables even to subject all things to Himself. What a great relief it will be, brethren, forever free from burning passions and terrible pains and sufferings and tears, all of which are typical of this fleshly body. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said in verse 4, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Faithful Christians fully expect to shed off this mortal body with its sicknesses and its grief and its pain and dread of dying and enter into our glorious spiritual body, which Jesus said is equal to the angels in Luke 20 and verse 36 and is fitted for eternity. Now please look with me at Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Now John wrote that the body we will have has not yet appeared, 1 John 3:2. But we glory in the assurance, brethren, that in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8 says, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that we will be, verse 21, delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Faithful Christians strive their entire lives to be like Christ. And we have the right to expect to be like Christ when our transformation takes place at the resurrection. So what are you expecting in death? What right do you have to those expectations? Remember, as you enter the valley of the shadow of death, there will be no extraordinary changes in the status of your character or spiritual conditions in the sight of God. What you are at the time you walk into those chilly waters of the river of death will be what you are in the sight of God when you cross. The only logical and safe course for one to take in this life is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live a faithful life that will honor and glorify God. Now, what to expect if you're not a child of God? Well, I would just say that you will be separated from God for eternity. You will live in total blackness. You will never see a tree again. You'll never see grass again. You'll never see the sun or the moon again. You'll never see rain. You'll never see snow again. You'll never see the mountains again. You'll never see the valleys again. You will be separated from God through eternity. You will not enjoy the heavenly treasure. You will have an eternal body that will experience pain for eternity. So I beg you and I plead with you, make the change now. Put on Christ in baptism today. You may be asking, what must I do to be saved? If you're an unbeliever, believe after hearing the word, repent and be baptized. If you're a believer, repent and be baptized. If you're a penitent believer, be baptized. If a child of God, then make your election and your calling sure. Endure until the end and be faithful unto death. Please, please, let us help you. Please let us help you this morning. Get to heaven. Remember our dear Tamara, last Wednesday, she came forward and repented of her sins. Now she's a faithful child of God. If you're not a Christian, you need to confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're an unfaithful Christian, you too need to come forward after repenting to God. And let us pray with you and pray for you. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I've done it. Jesus died for us. He hung on the cross. He did the hard part already. So please come forward if you would as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.